This is Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. Are we joined by Robin Philpott? Are you there, Robin?
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much for joining us, Robin.
No problem. It's a pleasure.
By the way, you and I, bless our hearts, have produced an article which is, I guess, appeared in Le Journal, right?
Right. It appeared in Le Journal first. It's been around for 40-some years, Le Journal, and it's got an anti-imperialist vision, I've collaborated with them quite a bit, and you wrote the draft, and we put this article in, and they ran it right away. It's on Trudeau's conniving with Trump against Mexico, ganging up, and so they ran it, and then it was picked up in France as well, in what they call the Réseau International, which is, by the way, it has articles in English as well, and they translated into English and Spanish as well. And so I think we must have struck a point.
Yeah. I checked this morning. I was looking at the news statistic because it seemed to me so egregious that I thought somebody's going to be talking about this rather than yourself and me. And this is striking. I checked the media of Mexico, the President Sheinbaum of Mexico, who is a true leader and unafraid in the face of Trump, because after all, Mexico's has shed some blood back and forth between the country of Mexico and the United States. They have a history of understanding who they're dealing with.
Yeah.
We come from the League of Gringos, and so we don't know nothing. But she said, this is not... She was being diplomatic. This is not helpful. This is not the problem. America has a drug problem, and we are fighting people who are in the drug business, and we are doing as much as anybody. And to add this label terrorist is going to be trouble. And so she seems to agree with us. It is
right. I mean, it seems well. It's a very well founded point. They know the danger of having that for their own sovereignty.
Yes.
It's a major point, and you just wonder.
By the way, yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wonder, why Trudeau so cavalierly says yes, and then nobody questions it either.
Yeah. It was, and basically, by the way, it was rather sneaky because the headline says, well, we're going to have a drug czar, which we said we wouldn't, but now we will, because the premier of Alberta says we have to. So Trudeau has to do what Trump's friend in Alberta wants us to do, which is say, reminds me of, Ronald Reagan was asked why was he bothering Nicaragua and putting them through so much pain? And he said, well, I want them to say uncle. So in this case, he said, I want you to say czar. We didn't want to say czar. So the premier in Alberta explained we have to say czar. So now we're saying czar. But, that applies to Canada, too, because he says if we call them terrorists, immediately follows, and I noticed the reporter did say this, it means further integration of intelligence services and cross-border money laundering, etc. So, in other words, you're given license to get into the other guy's country,
right?
Including
right.
Canada itself, by what it said by Trudeau's line, is opening the door for more U.S. interference here.
Right. No, absolutely. No.
You pointed out, by the way, there's Quebec. Quebec has a history where they understand you, I should say, Quebec, understand better than here. Could you explain that?
Well, no, but to point out what Trudeau did against Mexico, in other words, Canada, what Canada did regarding Mexico is they threw him under the bus because they want to get favors from from this new president, from Washington. And, you know, and this is comes to an important point for Canadians, as we say we have to defend the country. Quebec, you know, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, wanted to come to a new agreement with Canada. First, it was sovereignty association under Lévesque, and then it was sovereignty with a partnership in 1995. And 1995, as people will remember, younger people may remember less, but it came right down to the line, and it was and the vote was very close to winning a yes, and probably would have if there hadn't been a lot of violation of Quebec's electoral laws. But the Canadian government at that time, when they saw that they were losing ground and that it could be a 51-52% in favor of Quebec sovereignty and the partnership, which they also proposed, they ran, and they'd run to Washington. And yeah. These were leaders, Jean Chrétien, his nephew and ambassador to Washington, and many others were asking Clinton, the Clinton administration, to come out strongly against Quebec sovereignty, and also to say that Quebec would be excluded from the free trade agreement, the North American free trade agreement. Mm-hmm. And so all this is documented proudly by the former American ambassador to Canada, a guy named Blanchard, there was even the Canadians gave money to Americans to point out why Quebec would not do a research paper, why Quebec would not be allowed into the free trade agreement. So in other words, they were quick to instead of trying to reach a good agreement with Quebec, which wouldn't have been, you know, as many people have pointed out, it would have been acceptable for Canada and Quebec to be two countries that were partners and would really, because they respected each other, like Norway and Sweden, as the late Jane Jacobs pointed out. But instead, they decided, we'll go and get the big guy. And that's how that term was used, by the way. Mm-hmm. Get him on our side. And so what Trudeau is doing, and it's a warning for Quebec, and I think in our article we did point that out, and I think it got quite a few echoes, was that Quebec has a different situation than Canada. And Quebecers right now, I don't know whether you want to get into this question, but Quebecers right now are defending Canada. I mean, there's never been such a pro-Canadian position in Quebec for a very long time. Mm-hmm. In other words, Quebecers are seeing that the threat is to Canada, and it's also a threat to them, of course, to Quebecers, yes. To us. It's going to be the same thing, but as somebody wrote today in Le Devoir, we've seen this before, you know, yes. 1760s, 1830s, 1840s, we've seen this, and we've been through this kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, where they're up against a curious kind of problem because, of course, they are what used to be New France, and they were up against New England and the British. So we always want to remember that history and the identities. And it crossed my mind, and I think we should tell, everybody should know, have a look at how the U.S., when it decided to become an empire, and it really did make a decision to drop the Republican principles, you know, self-determination of peoples, and go for the idea of empire, that is rescuing the whole earth in name of a Protestant Christianity. When they took over Puerto Rico, Cuba, they had Cuba as a sort of semi-independent, but they grabbed Puerto Rico. If they were to do this same project in Canada, if that's their thought, yeah. Quebec would become Puerto Rico. Or Louisiana, where in 1900, 80% of the people spoke French. Now it's way down. It's below 50%, way below.
And also this whole southwest of the United States, which was taken from Mexico.
Yes,
we're talking about
Spanish.
Mexico. You know, it was taken from Mexico, from California and so on. And, you know, when the first Constitution of California was adopted, it was in Spanish and English. Well, Spanish has lost complete, except for the people who speak it, but there's no rights, there's no recognition of...
Yes. By the way, that's again to the famous Yankee Promises, which is kind of a well-known concept. According to Jesse Jackson in a speech in California, when they originally made California into territory and then a state, they promised that it would be bilingual and the Spanish language would be protected, rather like
right.
the French language in Manitoba, which disappeared.
Right, exactly.
Honored in the breach.
Right, I mean, because it was a conqueror, it was the conqueror, the superior peoples who were theoretically superior were taking over. And, you know...
Being superior means you get to lie to people.
Yeah, exactly. And that, so that was the story. So that in Quebec was, and I think it's really important for Canada, if Trudeau said the other day, this is serious. What Trump is saying, we're going to make Canada into the 51st state. Well, it will require that Canadians try and figure out what Canada and Quebec are all about and what their own history is.
Yes.
Because it will come down to that. What will Quebec's role be in Canada?
Mm-hmm.
You know, will we just say, okay, we'll make our decisions according to our own interests and to hell with Quebec? Or will we?
Yeah, if we're going to fight this, each party who's going to participate in the united struggle has to bring to the table what they want.
Yeah.
What they have to have.
Right.
And in Quebec has always been, as in, you pointed out, the American Southwest. There's the issue of a totally different identity, language, culture, religion, and
right.
it has to be put down. Are these things going to be part of our agreement? Then we will unite with you.
Right.
Exactly. Otherwise, adios.
These are important issues, and it is worth going back to our own history and Canada and Quebec, like what the history is all about, and say, okay, and if we're going to win this struggle, then we have to take this into consideration.
Yeah.
And I don't see it happening in Canada right now.
Well, we can help, and I know you're one of the authorities. People should know Robin Philpott, Baraka Books, has published on these issues, his own books and writing. And one of the things we've talked to you about over the years is our anthem, which now everybody's ready to, I notice, and bless their heart, they want to sing that anthem. Good for you. But maybe we'll stop booing when the French version is sung. But also, tell us a little the history of that song. And there's a word in there, patriot. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it is a very, it would be helpful for people to go back to that. In 1880, the Quebec government commissioned through the Société Saint-Jean-Baptiste, the Saint-Jean-Baptiste Society, which was a patriotic society, said we have to have a national anthem. The idea being we had to stop singing God Save the Queen. And so this man, Calixte Lavallée, who had fought, by the way, with the North in the Civil War, wrote the music. And the words were written by Basile Routier. This was 1880, and that's what it was when it was sung.
It was written in French.
In French, only.
Of course. Go ahead.
And there was no English version, because it's not a translation, there was no English version until 1906. And they wrote it as they liked. You know, it was a guy named Weir who wrote the English words. So that's 26 years later, somebody decided to to translate it into English because they liked the sound of it all, but they rewrote the words. So it was the same music, but it reworked with new words. And I know people who were in school in the 50s here, and they loved to sing O Canada in French at school because the English schools were singing God Save the Queen or The Maple Leaf Forever. And so this was, for them at that time, they were so proud to sing O Canada. And whereas other people like in Northern Ontario or elsewhere, I'm not sure whether they sang the same in Toronto, they would sing these other songs. You know, The Maple Leaf Forever hails Wolf, who won the war in the Plains of Abraham, or God Save the Queen.
Yes.
And it was only in 65 that the O Canada was adopted.
1965.
I think it was 65. I may have, but it's in the 60s.
During the Quiet Revolution.
Yeah.
Which people should look up.
Right, and because I guess they realized we can't go on singing God Save the Queen, we've got to have a national anthem, so they started singing God Save the Queen. They started singing O Canada. And here in Quebec, it sort of came to a point where O Canada was badly seen because... Yeah. It has become that because it was a way of saying, well, O Canada, and you know, like it would not respect Quebec. It didn't respect the history of the song itself.
Yeah.
And
the word patriot, you actually have and celebrate your patriots in the rebellion of 37-38 in what is now called Quebec. I don't know what it was labeled at the time, but they always argued about what to call Lower Canada, Eastern Canada, etc. And actually, you have Patriots Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you actually, people know the names of those who gave their life fighting against the monarchy and trying to establish a republic. Here, there is no celebration. There is no recognition or respect. We do have William Lyon Mackenzie, not the one king, but the original, who allied with that rebellion. But that patriotism was really in Quebec, not here, in terms of they were ashamed of William Lyon Mackenzie, actually ashamed of him here, still are.
Right, exactly. There was the Patriot Rebellion where they wanted the
a republic. They wanted a republic, frankly.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
By the way, you don't have to take lessons from the Americans on having a republic. The French have a republic. There are very few countries that manage to slip out, get off that snakeskin of the monarchy. Monarchies all over Europe, and somehow we think that's a good idea. It's a disgrace.
Exactly.
People doesn't want to rule themselves. They say, "Oh, we have a king. We have a." Right. We people talk about sovereignty. We have a sovereign. And by the way, he's quiet as a church mouse. He hasn't said a thing about Trump taking his country away from him. And we all pledge allegiance to and say how much we love him and all of his descendants, to whom we'll always be loyal. This is this is like telling a joke on yourself, maybe, or taking your pants off in public. It's ridiculous.
Go
ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, all right. I want to congratulate you, by the way, on the article. I know I've contributed, but I was so proud that it appeared in Le Journal, a paper that we have a lot of respect for, and is appearing elsewhere. I hope people will read it. I guess if they go to...
It's going to be in Counterpunch probably tomorrow and in Covert Action. Wrote and said they want to run it. It's just that I guess it's scheduled probably tomorrow, but very soon.
That's great.
And it would be nice if some English-Canadian site would pick it up.
It'd be fun. I'd love to see my own French article appear in English for me.
Exactly. I mean, the speed was that they ran it right away. I think it says that there's a different consciousness here. The whole question of Mexico, Doug Ford has said, when Trump compared Canada to Mexico and the border, he would just jump on. He said, we can't be compared to Mexico. I mean, it just showed his racist attitude.
Oh, yeah. I watched him do it. He really took umbrage. My goodness, you're comparing. I would say to him, you should be so lucky as to actually have a reputation like that of Mexico, which is, fought for independence, cost many lives. Then they fought a revolution. This is a very heroic country facing one of the greatest powers on earth and has survived.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Well, Robin, we're very grateful to be talking to you about this matter, Baraka Books, and hope to talk to you soon again in the future.
Okay, thanks a lot, Phil.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good day. Bye.
Okay, thanks. This is Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM, and what do you know, I am Phil Taylor. We're going to have a little music, and we'll come back and talk to Tony Leo Unifor.